Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers bought into the second round of Thursday night's draft. They have a brand new player from Michigan State, drafted at number 35, just like Draymond Green. And Rob Pelinka says that Russell Westbrook has bought into the idea of being a defensive first player. We'll see. That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, no matter how you get your podcasts and where you get your podcasts. We've got fresh Lakers content available for you every day. Locked On Lakers on YouTube, of course, where you go to get all the breaking news as we roll into free agency, Andy, which starts next week, correct?
Yeah, June 30th, 6 p.m., I believe, our time, June 30th. It all happens, Brian.
So if you are a professional basketball player willing to sign for about $1.8 million, you keep your phone on because the Lakers might be calling.
No, man, they got a taxpayer mid-level exception. They got a lot of options moving forward.
We actually have some mailbag stuff we might try to get to a little bit about how the Lakers could go about attracting free agents to their roster for next year. We'll try to get to that, or we'll certainly touch on it next week. We love when we get your questions and comments to us, whether on the Locked On Lakers show page or KamenetskyBrothers@gmail.com, at Cam Brothers. Lots of ways to get a hold of us. But anyway, so we'll get to Russ here in a second, but let's start on Thursday night, Andy. Draft night, the Lakers, we had all hoped, would buy into the second round.
We both thought they would. Yeah, we suspected that they were going to do that.
They certainly made it pretty clear that they were going to try, and it was relatively early in the day on Thursday that the announcement went out that they had bought the 35th pick and a trade. Well, they traded for the 35th pick, future second rounder, and some cash to the Orlando Magic, and they used that selection, Andy, on a 6'6 swingman from Michigan State, Max Christie, who I know you've been studying up on a lot over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of Google searches in the last hour. I've been doing a lot of cutting and pasting,
a lot of retweeting of other people's scouting reports. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So take everything we say from here on out with a grain of salt in terms of understanding like the quality of Max Christie and the two-way guys. Lakers filled their two-way slots with Scottie Pippen and a shooter from
Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yes. And a shooter from Syracuse whose name I forget. He's a shooter. And we'll look it up before we get to this part of the podcast. But what I always look at is both what other people say about the players that they draft. And I would say universally people thought it was a strong pick. Max Christie from Michigan
State. Cole Swider is the name. I believe it's pronounced Swider. Cole Swider, he is a sharpshooter.
I believe it's pronounced Bancaro.
Right. According to Dave McMenamin from ESPN, huge Syracuse guy. Dave, I'm sure, has already bought a Swider Lakers jersey.
Right. So when you think about, you look at what other people are saying, the guys who do scout these players and spend a ton of time breaking down film, the response to this pick was, nice value, makes a lot of sense, good potential to grow into a solid NBA player. Rob Pelinka said from the draft in New York that they believe that had he stayed for another year at Michigan State, that Christie would have been a mid-first round pick next year, had that kind of potential. So to be able to grab him this year is good. He's sort of seen Andy as a shooter, didn't shoot that well last year in college, but that doesn't always mean it won't translate to the NBA.
No, apparently his form is like picture perfect gorgeous. Like his mechanics with his shooting and just shot making in general, or even shot missing, really looks good. Like he looks,
they fix it in post.
Yeah. I mean, he looks the part of this, he was a freshman and a one and done freshman. And those are guys that often are really raw at this stage, but like in looking around for more info on him, I've seen a few comps to Landry Shamet. I've seen a few comps to Jeremy Lamb. Those would obviously be incredible pickups. If he ended up, Max Christie, along the lines of a Lamb or a Shamet, that's an incredible value at the the second round. I mean, those are legitimate NBA players, and anytime you can get an NBA player in the second round, that's a win. Also, another thing I've seen about him that I'm sure the Lakers noticed and made them optimistic is, despite the fact that he is currently listed at 6'6", 190, like, he is basically bizarro Talen Horton Tucker out of college.
Right. Talen Horton Tucker, who was a little chunky when he
grew up. Yeah, he was 6'4", 290.
He wasn't that chunky. No, come on now. THT was not 6'4", 290 at Iowa State. No, I'm joking,
but he was about 6'4", 6'5", 240. I mean,
he needed to drop weight, but 290. Come on
now. I'm joking for comedic effect. But one thing, though, that's pretty consistent in the scouting reports of Christie is that he is both a very willing defender and actually a pretty solid defender.
Right. I should have mentioned it. He's only 19. So the Lakers, like they did with THT, went very young with this pick.
Yeah. So, and generally speaking, the consensus on him is the season at Michigan State did not, in terms of production, translate the way certainly people in Michigan State had hoped for, but that you could see a lot of potential with him there. Like, that it didn't seem like he arrived. People watched this season like, ooh, I'm not even sure what they were thinking.
Yeah. And, you know, apparently, you know, was a quality workout guy, had, you know, so it seems like they made a pick here that makes sense, that has a potential. Now, don't expect Christie to come in and be a game changer this season. If that happens, it probably means once again the Lakers didn't do a very good job assembling the roster.
Couple Brian fun facts that I learned from the Michigan State website about Max Christie. His top five movies are Black Panther, Infinity War, 22 Jump Street, Mall Cop 2, and Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim being the oldest of these movies from 2013. So it just reminds you this is a young kid. His favorite player is Kevin Durant because they have a similar playing style and versatility. You will appreciate this. His favorite class in high school was AP World History, so a lot like you. His favorite pregame meal is a Jimmy John's number 4 with cucumbers and tomatoes. I looked that up. That's their turkey sandwich. I would recommend he switch to a sandwich with a fattier meat like whale. Turkey's a little lean for a kid like him. And then finally, Brian, if he could play another sport professionally, it would be either football or darts. It's quite a spectrum.
The professional darts had a moment. Like, there was maybe it was just the pandemic or something, but like there was a stretch where like pandemic or like where darts was like F1. Yes. Everybody seemed to be talking about darts.
Yeah, it was that, in Korean.
Is that time past?
Is that in Korean baseball?
Yeah.
they both were huge during the pandemic.
I gave that a try. Am I sports starved enough to stay up late watching Korean baseball? No, was the
I don't watch the baseball. The problem was the time difference.
I wasn't. It turned out the answer was no. Yeah. All right. So a couple more things to wrap up on Thursday night's draft night. And then we'll get into Russell Westbrook and some interesting comments from Rob Pelinka from New York, interviewed after the draft. And so that is all coming up next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Arcade 1-Up, the one, the only. NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1-Up, the leader in home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best game ever, but it's bigger than ever with a Shaq edition machine. This was one of the first ever sports games to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and this time, no quarters required. You can compete with friends and family through the all-new Wi-Fi leaderboards. You can pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. And Arcade 1-Up is the place for fun. They got classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others starting at just $399. That's a great price. And they're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Could be you. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com arcade.com/lockedon. That's arcade.com/lockedon. You got until July 8th to enter to win an NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with?
Before we get to Russ, just to wrap up the rest of Thursday night, the Lakers, moves of note, they did fill their two-way slots. Cole Swider, as Andy mentioned his name, and I wrote it down, so I'm trying to remember it, shot 40% plus from three-point range in his final two seasons at Syracuse. So, you know, see how that translates, but a good shooter is always a handy fellow to have in your system somewhere. And then Scottie Pippen Jr., who is an undersized point guard, played at Vanderbilt, my alma mater, and put up a lot of points in the SEC. I think he led the SEC in scoring, actually, this season, but is a little fella. I think listed at 6'3", I read, actually is about 6'1". So there are obviously some questions about how he can defend at the pro level and all that, but is a good player. And so sometimes guys like that, when they're not expected to be scorers and he wouldn't be at the NBA level, can improve their efficiency, can improve a lot of other things. So we'll see what the Lakers do there. Again, they have a good track record with this stuff. So, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. And the two-way contracts can change between now and you know, when the season starts.
Well, back during the Kobe, Shaq, Phil era, Phil for years tried to find a way to trade for Scottie Pippen. So I guess they finally got their wish decades later. They've got Scottie Pippen on this team.
He wasn't specific about which one.
Well, this, Brian, we'll just wait. This is Phil's influence. Remember, we were all worried that it was going to be, oh, you got to keep Russ or you got to move LeBron. The influence just bring in Scottie Pippen one way or another, like close the loop for me so I can move on with my life in Montana.
And the other final note from the speaking of juniors and or not, you know, juniors necessarily, but sons of notable players, Shaq's kid is going to be playing for the Lakers summer league team. I'm sure Shareef O'Neal would prefer people call him by his actual name, but he is going to be known only as Shaq's kid when he plays for the Lakers summer league team. So he should probably get used to it. Long shot to make the team, certainly long shot to be on an NBA roster. I think he averaged about 2 points through his college career. But
good interview. That'll be a really good interview.
And a fun thing to for Lakers fans to watch in mid-July when summer league rolls around. All right, so Andy, Rob Pelinka was in New York where Stephen A. Smith was freaking out because the Knicks did a bunch of stuff that wasn't to his liking. But he was talking about Russell Westbrook, and he said that Darvin Ham has had some long and intense conversations with Russ and has laid out very clearly to him that he needs to be a defensive first player and that Westbrook is on board.
Well, first of all, I would say that any conversation with Russell Westbrook about being defense first by definition is intense. Like that's not going to be a casual conversation.
Yeah. Once you explain to him what he means by that, like when you say, like, what do you mean defense? Like,
wait, like first? Like, I mean, you mean like upper half, right? You don't mean like first.
like the part of the game where I'm thinking about my fits, like when I don't have the ball. You mean that part?
Oh, geez.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Quite the ask, new guy.
New guy.
I mean, who's been around a little longer, Darvin? Look, we've talked about this before with Russell Westbrook and defense and what he can do, can't do. I think the ceiling for how good Russ can be defensively, it's there, and it's certainly not as high as the Lakers would like it to be. Mm-hmm. Where you and I have disagreed before, and we've gone back and forth on this. We don't necessarily need to revisit it to the same length as before. I think there are areas Russ can get better if he simply decides to do things like, for an entire defensive possession, I will watch my assignment.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole time. I'm not going to stop watching him. I'm not going to get bored. off ball. I'm not going to watch him run to the other
squirrel.
Side. Yeah, I'm not going to watch him run to the other side of the court and just kind of watch him from the other baseline. I mean, if he commits himself to actually prioritizing defense, he is not going to automatically become an upper end defender just from that commitment, but the commitment alone will make a difference. Like any level of difference would have helped.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I do think that he, you know, obviously genuine attention to that and effort on that end of the floor always makes guys better. I just have serious questions as to sort of what he's capable of, even when the muscle memory for me just over what is this year going to be, year 14, just isn't there. And so I think it's just difficult to turn that on even when your intentions are good. But my biggest takeaway,
I'd love to see though what it looks like when the intentions are good. Let's see what it looks like.
A 15% increase, a 20% increase in the effectiveness of his defense would be helpful. That's
yes.
I am a big believer in, even if you want all of the things, some of the things are better than none of the things. And yeah. So I 100% agree with you on that. But like what sticks out for me with this kind of stuff is just how different the context is going to be this year compared to last. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make, but it is going to be much easier for the Lakers to make demands of Russ this year than last year, because it is the last season of this. It is, you know, kind of do or we can send you away much easier. Like it was hard to do that last year. And beyond that, like Russ knows he's not going to get a $45 million contract next year, but if he wants to hook on with a team and play a meaningful role on a good team or whatever, he's got to show he can evolve in ways that go beyond the Westbrook that we've seen over the last few years. So does that mean coming off the bench as a sixth man? Maybe, I guess it could, but you know, a much more invested performance on defense, all of this is more likely to happen, I think, this year than last year, because last year he was very much like, no, I'm Russ and I don't have to bend as much as, you know, you think, 'cause I'm superstar Russ Westbrook. And this year, I don't think it'll be that way.
Well, look, I mean, a lot of this comes down to Russ's self-awareness. I mean, you know, Brian, I'm a massive Allen Iverson fan and I'm a massive Allen Iverson apologist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way Allen Iverson's career ended, there's a part of me that felt like it was poetic because it was Iverson being Iverson until the very end. And it ultimately, it spoke to who he was, but it got in the way of him extending his career for however long he wanted it to be, because he didn't fit anymore. He couldn't or wouldn't or both be anything other than AI.
Right.
And it seemed like Iverson was very unwilling to really even attempt making those adjustments beyond whether or not you think he was capable or not. Russ may come to Jesus, so to speak. He may also just not be willing to be anything other than Russ.
And or may not know how. I mean, it's not easy. Even when you have the self-awareness, it's a great point. Like all of the stuff I said before, I think that's automatically the direction it's going to go. I'm just
saying,
man,
in Russ's mind, he was adjusting last season. I mean, mm-hmm. I asked him directly about this in his exit interview, because he had talked all season about playing different than he normally does and being asked to do different things, his role changing all the time. And it was clear he was unhappy about it. Like he was not talking like somebody who was embracing a challenge. And I asked him directly, these things that Frank Vogel wanted you to do, were you doing them or were you embracing what was being asked of you? Because there's a difference, and Russ understood what I was asking. He insisted that not only did he embrace this, but he's been the guy that has always embraced being asked to do the different stuff.
Going back years, not just this one.
Yes.
I the archetypes that people talk about, you know, recently with the Lakers as well, you know, as these guys reformed their games and changed wherever, you go back, look what Carmelo Anthony has done to kind of rejuvenate his game and rejuvenate his place in the league. Dwight Howard, when he came back to the Lakers, when he came to the Lakers the first time and all that. But it's not like those were not instant transformations.
No. You know?
I mean, that took Anthony was out of the league. Dwight was as close as you could possibly be to out of the league.
He was a DeMarcus Cousins injury from incredibly being out of the league.
Correct. And, so it took trauma to their careers to get them to make these sorts of changes. And, is Westbrook, who may not need quite as, but is Westbrook, is his game, which is so singular, capable of evolving that way? Not sure. But is he mentally capable of evolving that way, as you point out? Not sure about that either. Or if he wants to. He may not, it's not like he needs the money. He may not want to play like that. By the way, is a completely defensible position. If Russell Westbrook decides, you know what? I don't want to be a role player. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm one of the 75 greatest players to ever play this game. And he absolutely is, belong on that list. There's no question. That's not how I want to play. He's got no obligation to keep doing it. And so
he has an obligation to try not to be a pain in the ass on this season's
team. This year. He's got a year's worth of obligations to be a professional. But beyond that, if that's not his jam and he doesn't want to play that way, he doesn't have to. And I would have no problem with it whatsoever. This is going to be a conversation that carries through the summer, but it is an interesting beginning to this sort of Westbrook thing, because, the Knicks, we mentioned the Knicks earlier, is busy in the market. They set up to have cap space to go try to sign Jalen Brunson. Like, he's not getting traded. Like, the little windows are there. There are a couple that are still available, but broadly speaking, it looks unlikely that he's going to be traded. So, something to watch for. Andy, next, let's watch the mailbag, because we got a couple really good questions that came to us, which we will answer next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including NHL playoffs, baseball, boxing, MMA, soccer, NFL futures, the whole nine. Right now, you can actually bet on, this is fun, even though there's no NBA going on right now, you can bet on the NBA 2K23 cover athlete. Last time I looked, Ja Morant was your clubhouse leader, getting 3-1 odds. Nikola Jokic after him at 9-4. Joel Embiid 7-2. Go all the way down to Devin Booker and Trae Young at 33-1. So if you're into the NBA or also into the NBA 2K scene, the culture, that's something fun to bet on. Bet Online, your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Okay, so let's turn to the Locked On Lakers mailbag, which comes in many forms. People leave comments on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page. It's a great way to leave us questions. You can get us at Cam Brothers on Twitter, the Locked On Lakers Twitter page, which is just at Locked On Lakers, and of course the iTunes show page, which is where these questions come from. This first one from NMoody30. Do you guys believe Ham and now Gent plus LeBron and AD can convince some free agents to sign here for less than their value? Remember, Jim, we mentioned free agency starts next week. Guys like Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, who actually is off the market, picked up his option with Milwaukee, and DeLon Wright, that have played recently under our new coaches, could upgrade the veteran talent immensely. You can answer, I guess, specifically about the players they asked, some interesting names in there, or just the general concept of how appealing a pitch that the Lakers can make to get guys to play here for less.
Well, I do think, broadly speaking, that Ham and Chris Gent and Phil Handy, maybe Rasheed Wallace, I think that is an appealing coaching staff, mm-hmm. that if you're a player to join up with that team. Like, I actually think that if you are weighing your options and to whatever degree you care about who's coaching you as a player, you're going to look at that staff, and I actually think that's something you, at least if nothing else, like the idea of joining. Mm-hmm. When you look at the specific guys, though, that NMoody mentioned, with Bobby Portis and DeLon Wright, Connaughton being off the table now, Those are guys, though, that I think illustrate the challenge in getting guys to play for under their market value. Bobby Portis, for example, that's a non-starter. Well, I mean, he could get like a non-taxpayer mid-level, like as the starting point, like
from 10, almost every team in the NBA,
right? That has it. I mean, you know, I imagine he's going to get somewhere like 10 to 15 per season. You know, he's already won a championship, and he's already on a team that will keep him in contention. So unless he
believes in a place where he completely flourished,
right? He flourished. They love him there. Like the only thing I can think of is if Portis is convinced that his success is specifically due to the presence of Darvin Ham, and like he believes his superpowers are going to go away the minute he leaves Ham, like that's just not realistic.
It's the weirdest version of damn Yankees of all time.
Like, and DeLon Wright, you know, his current contract is a few million bucks above the taxpayer mid-level. To me, what the more overriding thing would be, does he want to come back home? Because he's from LA.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it's a difficult thing to come back here and say as a veteran, like, this is your best place to win a ring, because it's probably not. I mean, it's a place to go to the playoffs, hopefully.
It's also tough for him because they're already guard heavy unless they make some moves. You know, he is somewhere, I think, if I had to guess, between a taxpayer mid-level and a full mid-level. Mm-hmm. You know, DeLon Wright's a really solid backup point guard.
But he's a little older, so he's not going to cost a ton of money. But yeah, I think he's certainly a $6 million player.
It is tough to convince guys to come for below market value unless either you can offer that guy a really good role,
mm-hmm,
or you are in a position to get a guy a ring who's never won one before.
Okay, so here's to the former. One of the names that we've thrown around is Otto Porter, because he came up last year,
mm-hmm,
and there was some hesitance about signing him just because of the injury history and whatever. Stayed pretty healthy with Golden State as they won a title. But the Warriors are in the same situation with him as the Lakers are with Malik Monk, where they're limited in what they can offer him. They could give him their exception, but perhaps they want to use that on someone else. You know, they've got Kevon Looney they need to re-sign. They've got some stuff to do. The Lakers
figuring out Jordan Poole, out Andrew
they've
Wiggins.
Got, and you know, while money isn't an object, you know, you have to make difficult choices. Sure. I suspect they'll keep Porter. That'd be my guess, but I don't know. The Lakers, to your previous point, though, they can't necessarily offer more money, but they can offer a very prominent role. You know, Otto Porter, you know, the Lakers have no wings, you know, none. They are wingless. So you could certainly tell Porter, like, look, you're going to come here, you're going to play with LeBron, you're going to play with AD, and you're going to start. And he will
never start with Golden State, not unless there's injuries. He's not going to beat out Clay. He's not going to beat out Andrew Wiggins.
That may not matter to him. But, you know, so remove Otto Porter from the equation. The Lakers, more than most playoff teams with playoff aspirations. I realize you technically can't call them a playoff team.
Can't even call them a play-in team.
No. More than most teams like this have an unsettled roster where they can legitimately look at free agents and say, yeah, you can come in here. You're, you know, spots 6 through 12 in the rotation, 5 through 12 are pretty open. Like, we've got some wiggle room here. And if you're the right player and you need to reestablish your reputation, you're coming off an injury, whatever it might be, you have a better chance of coming to the Lakers and carving out a larger role where you can flourish than you might with other teams. That's not guaranteed, and I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not, you know, a perfect comparison, but it's somewhat true. That could help. That could really help.
Dude, other than LeBron and AD, there's nobody on this roster that's definitively starting, because there's these questions with Russ. You know, would they play him off the bench? Who else is definitively starting?
Right. I mean, is Kendrick Nunn a good player? Sure. I think a lot of players could come in and say, I could beat out Kendrick Nunn for a starting spot.
To your point about a sales pitch.
Right. Or Austin Reeves a good player? Yeah. If I'm a young veteran NBA player, you know, for whatever reason finds himself wanting to reestablish market value, I love Reeves, but that guy, I guarantee you, was saying, if I can't beat out Austin Reeves for 23 minutes of playing time, I don't have any market value. So, I think all of these things are going to play themselves out this summer, and it could open up some options for the Lakers. You want to do the other one real quick?
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of an interesting question.
Yeah, Connor 511, also from the iTunes show page, Apple show page. Would you rather have a team with a higher ceiling or a higher floor? For example, would you rather have something like last year, three very good players, below average bench, or sacrifice the higher end talent to have more talent top to bottom?
I apologize to Connor because I'm going to kind of twist the question around a little bit because I don't totally accept the premise of it. I think what we learned is the three very good players and below average everywhere else doesn't work. Like your three good players have to be both healthy and transcendent. The Lakers, that was neither. And then obviously you're including Westbrook in there and that doesn't really work. Could you say, like we talked earlier this week about Bradley Beal as a rumor, would you do like that top three and then a really below average bench? I mean,
all three of those guys have to stay really healthy. And for that matter, Kendrick Nunn needs to stay healthy. Talen Horton-Tucker needs to take the steps forward. That being said, though, if those things happen, LeBron, AD, Bradley Beal, THT, Kendrick Nunn, Austin Reeves, whoever is your mid-level exception guy, that could actually be a pretty good rotation.
It could.
If everyone stays healthy.
So, I mean, my answer to Connor would be, I'm inclined to say that, you need stars. You need AD, you need LeBron or whatever, but I would certainly trade the third superstar for much more depth and stability from 4 through 11, 4 through 12, because I think particularly in the playoffs, the way that scouting works, like that stuff starts to really matter. You need not just stars, you need other really good players to get yourself through an NBA postseason. I'm not talking about like average dudes. I mean, like if my choice is two stars and like three above average non-stars and then the rest, or three stars and below average everywhere else, I'll take my two stars, three above average players and go from there.
Your point, Brian, the two teams that were in the finals, Golden State had one supernova in Steph, a guy named Andrew Wiggins, who was an all-star, but not all NBA superstar level. Klay came back to form better than many people expected, including myself, but he was not at Thompson of old level. Draymond has shown signs, but they had depth. You start going down the roster, they had a lot of guys who were credible contributors, high-end contributors for a championship team. Boston, you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are somewhere between all-star and all-NBA. Everybody else, Marcus Smart is a defensive player of the year, but he is really, at the end of the day, super high-end role player.
Mm-hmm.
Time Lord is a super high-end role player. Like, they don't have, for the time being, multiple superstars, and those are the two teams that made it.
Those, and there's two teams where all the pieces fit together really well.
Yeah.
Fit matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So next week we'll start getting into and get ready for free agency, which kicks off, I want to say, Thursday evening, right?
Yes. Went over this at the beginning of the show.
So our Friday. No, but I'm just saying Thursday evening as opposed to like midnight. It's no longer the midnight call. It's 6 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern time. So our Friday show next week could have some free agent reaction in it. That'll be exciting. Get you ready for that. And everything else going on. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to subscribe. Everybody have a good weekend.